I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Today we're examining how we live to reveal what it is that we believe. Because as Bruce said last week, we are all going to stand before the throne of Christ, and we are all going to give an account for how we lived our life. That is a fact. And that discussion that we are going to have will involve how well we fulfilled the five created purposes we all share, which were, as we heard last week, believing and belonging and becoming and then branching and bestowing. And since the stakes are so incredibly high and these subjects are so incredibly deep, we are, yes, starting a little series today to assess our progress toward those purposes. And so today we're going to dive a little bit deeper into what it is that we believe, okay? What we believe. But because there's a self-serving bias in how we perceive what we believe, because we like to kind of think higher of ourselves than we actually are sometimes, we need to ask the more direct question behind that question, which is, what's at the center of your life? Okay? Now, you can yell out Jesus right now, and you would be correct, right? Yeah, that's the right answer, but is it the true answer? We're going to find out. Because everyone has to live for something, right? Just has to happen. Everyone has to live for something because something has to give our life purpose. And that is because this very interesting truth, purpose is a uniquely human need that begins with belief, okay? It's something we don't just need food, shelter, water. We need to believe. Now, no cow has ever questioned its existence before. No cow has ever been, oh, what is it all about? And then failed to find meaning and then lost its will to live. That's never happened to a cow ever. However, every single human needs to believe in something that gives them a reason to get out of bed every single morning. We just have to have it. And now the funny part is, what we believe doesn't really have to be spiritual or intellectual or even rational. It just has to feed our appetite for purpose enough to make life worth living. You can put anything in that place. I remember how back when I was a youngster, just the thought of being a rock star was enough motivation. Now my daughter's living my dream and I never got to have it, but the thought of being a rock star was enough motivation to tolerate the rest of my teenage misery, of which there was plenty. So I grew out my hair and I practiced guitar. That's me. Don't applaud that. No, that was the mistake, you see. That's boo. Where's the yay boo sign that we had last week? That's me thinking that's who I was going to be. So I grew out my hair, and I started practicing guitar. Never got good, but I practiced. And I started bands, because as a teenager, you got to start like 12 bands. That's what it's all about. And I did all of that to make myself believe in the reality of my reason. This is what I'm going to do with my life. And so slowly, I grew more and more faith that music was my purpose. And that it would reward me with fame and fortune if I just made it the center of my life. And so I tried. And who knows, maybe it would have. Maybe I would have been super famous and made tons of money. I doubt it, but it could have happened. But what it wouldn't have done is fulfilled my purpose. Because whether it's an object or an achievement or a profession or a person, we all believe that something exists that will reward us with purpose when we faithfully pursue it. And that's because, get ready, it's true. It is true. That is actually how it works. Something will reward us with purpose when we faithfully pursue it. But it's just in one case only. And we hear about it in the Bible. Who knew? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So you see, regardless of what we believe gives us purpose, we can all agree that we need to believe that we have a purpose. And yet God says He created us with a need to believe for a purpose. Because he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else, right? It's his creation. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. But hear this. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us, believers, for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Okay, you get it? It's one of those things. It's easier than it sounds, because even when you try to package it and understand this concept, it's one of those like difficult to follow. So hear this and see if it makes sense to you. Believing in God's purpose is the purpose of being created to believe. Okay, does that register? Again, it's kind of like that Princess Bride. I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me because, you know, you can't follow it. It's hard. So here's another way to think about it. He designed us with an appetite to believe in something so we would see that he has something worth believing. Okay, it's only going to come from him because he is the one who offers adoption back into the family that we were born to be in. So that's the purpose, and he's the only one who can offer that because, you know, he's the dad. However, because we live in this world, and this world is just full of other things that also promise to fulfill our purpose, we get distracted all the time. We get distracted by different pursuits, and we hope that they are going to lead us back where we belong. You know, maybe this will fulfill me. This will be the thing that I need that gives me the purpose that I was born to have. And yet, this is how dull we are, okay? Billions and billions of lives, trillions and trillions of man hours, and across all of human history, we have still been constantly searching for something to fill that void, and it hasn't worked out. Okay, no one has ever found something that gave what we were looking for. And that is just embarrassing that we continue to do it, because that should be a clear sign that this world can't provide what it is that we want. We keep trying to pretend that it can, but it just cannot. And this idea was echoed by award-winning, best-selling novelist David Foster Wallace. We talked about him a while ago, because it's a tragic story, and it's so true. And David Foster Wallace, prolific writer, lost his lifelong struggle to find that reason to live, that fulfilling reason, when he committed suicide back in 2008. And although he talks about it like all the time in his writing, he considered making Jesus his reason to live twice. Two times he said he got close and he could just almost do it, but he couldn't quite do it because he couldn't quite let go of this world's constant letdowns, you know? Kept going for it, hoping that it was going to happen. And he hinted at this struggle in a very famous, it's very famous, commencement speech that he gave at a college years back. And this is what he said. He said, "There is actually no such thing as atheism. Everybody worships. Everybody worships. The only choice that we get is what to worship. And pretty much anything you worship will eat you alive. If you worship money and things, then you will never ever have enough. You worship your own body and you will always feel ugly. You worship power and you will feel weak and afraid. And if you worship your intellect, you will end up feeling stupid and a fraud, always on the verge of being found out." And that is so true. And we know that that's true. Because the bottom line is this. Believing this world can fulfill us only leads to disappointment and death. Again, that's all of human history, right? That's all we keep proving over and over again. Trying to find meaning in this world just disappoints, and then we die. Nobody gets out of here alive. That's just how it goes. And that is because we know. We know the secret. We've been told. That's because the only purpose worth believing is found outside this world in a relationship with God. After all, think about it. Again, I love how logical God created the universe, so it all makes sense. Real fulfillment can only come from satisfying a created purpose. And so if we are created beings, then logically, only our Creator knows the real reason that we were made, because He's the one who made us. And without his reason at the center of our lives, then we are all doomed to the despair of dysfunction. You know, trying to live a life that we were not created to live. And I was trying to think of how to explain this. Here's what I got. It's the same way. Bless you. It's the same. Bless you again. Third time? Okay, we're good. The same way it would be annoying to use a clarinet as a spoon. Okay? I want you to picture that. You got to eat a hot bowl of soup with a clarinet. I said that to Bruce, and he was like, it's not a problem. And I'm like, no. Like trying to use a clarinet as a spoon, right? That would just annoy you because you'd be like, it's not working. It's not, you know, great. In that exact same way, it would be frustrating for Mozart to waste his whole life digging ditches because he's clearly not meant for that. You know, there's things that you're supposed to have that are created purposes for you. And so we need to reconnect with our Creator to align ourselves with his intentions. That's the only way we can fulfill what we are supposed to do. But since the fundamental problem that we have stems from separation from him, and that separation began when we walked away, we parted ways with our Creator, well, then he had to let us learn to return on our own terms, right? He can't just make us come back. So he's like, I got to let this happen, however painful the process. For the whole creation, right? The creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In hope, though, believe it or not, that frustration was in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and then brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. Okay? I mean, this is a crazy thought. These are some of those things that we don't like to think about sometimes, but here's how it works. God allows us to believe lies so the mistakes can turn us back toward truth. All right? It's all works together for good if you love God. That's how it works. It's like the father in the prodigal son. Remember the prodigal son story? The father who urged his son to stay at home. You have everything that you need. This is where you belong. This is it. This is life. This is good. And the kid was like, yeah, I still want to go. I want to go taste the real world and check it out. And the father had to let him foolishly chase that worldly fulfillment, hoping that that letdown that he knows he's going to feel, that letdown out there would bring him back where he belonged. Which it did, because it does, because you go out and you learn this is not what I'm made for. Well, in the exact same way, we too need to learn that only the Lord knows the right way to lead our life. He knows where we belong. He knows he wanted us to stay here. Because faith in our Father is the only belief that can lead us back to where we belong. Okay? That's it. We should have listened to him in the beginning. We didn't. Now we should listen to him now on our own terms. We must learn to trust him enough to involve him in every single decision. And then, here's the big one, believe in his answers. Believe in him. And you know why? Because we're kids. And that's what kids should do. Kids are supposed to believe their parents and then, you know, follow their instructions. I know this is in theory. Most of us have never experienced that. Kids don't really do that, but they're supposed to. The idea is that kids should follow what their parents say. And he said we were created to be his kids. Remember, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Because Christ modeled that power of believing in God's purpose for our lives. Showed that that's all it took. That if we did just listen to him and do what we were supposed to do, that we took his purpose and put it into our lives, that everything would work out. And he did that by proving that his love conquers all, even death. Proved it, just in case we weren't sure. Because here's the spoiler alert, guys. We were created to be loved. That's what we have to believe. That's all it is. We were created to be loved. And only after we believe that we're beloved will we be willing to live out our created purpose. Because when God wanted to fully express his love, he made you to do it. That's your purpose. That's our purpose. That's all of us. So don't anybody ever forget. Keep this right between your eyes all day, every day from now until eternity. We were all made for him. Okay? It's for him. There's so many wonderful scriptures that just point it out. But like John said, you, God, created all things by your will. By your will, they were created and have their being. And remember, God did not have to create us. He's God. He didn't have to. He wanted to create us. For the Lord takes delight in his people. And it's the same way that we take delight in the people that we create when we have kids, right? Whenever we decide to have kids, we're like, things will be better. We think this at first. Things will be better if we bring kids into the equation. And so, for instance, even though Raina and I would be perfectly happy, oh, so happy on our own. We would be perfectly happy with just the two of us. At one point, we thought to ourselves, it would be delightful to fill our house with more humans. And for the most part, we were right. You know, for the most part. Loving our kids has been this incredible joy of our life. It has brought us so much joy. And hopefully one day it'll bring them joy too. But it hasn't happened necessarily yet. Because it's so hard. Right? Our kids just need to learn to believe that love can feel like torture sometimes. That is what parents, we get to do that. Love can feel like torture sometimes. And so it's hard to see that. But then again, we all need to learn that, right? So do we. We all need to learn that love can feel like torture sometimes. Because one of the biggest obstructions to our belief in God's love is all the suffering that we feel, right? I mean, this is one of the constant arguments that you have with people who are on the other side of the fence. I remember being there. It's saying, explain the suffering. Why does it hurt so much if God loves me so much? Well, have you ever been a kid? You know how that goes. Sometimes love feels like torture, just like our own kids. Suffering only discourages those who doubt their parents' heart. When you can't see that there's, you know, love behind it. Because if we truly believed in God's purpose to love us, well, then we would trust that his love was behind everything that we experience, including all of the rough stuff. You know, we would know that even though I don't like it, I don't want to do it, it's being done out of love and I should just trust the process. And this is just the exact same way that kids should know that chores and bedtimes and vegetables are all part of their parents' love, right? They should know that. In spite of how it feels, it can feel miserable. I mean, I felt like I was the Gestapo putting broccoli into one of my boys one time, you know, and he was just like, I would rather die. And I'm like, why am I tortured? I love you so much, you'll get it in you. That's what we do, though, because we love them and they need it. So we force it upon them, just like God. That's the message. So, I know, I'm hearing myself say it. God forces that love into you. Anyway, it's true. Even though it can be hard to believe, right? Just like that kid who's like, I do not understand how this broccoli is an act of love. It can be hard to believe that we were created for an eternal and loving relationship that brings everyone perfect joy. It just can be because it doesn't feel like it. But remember this, we have to believe in God's love to take part in God's love. You have to trust, you have to know that each one of these things is for our eternal good because he loves us. And it's because it's just part and parcel of how these things work. Think about it another way. You won't have a happy marriage if you don't trust your spouse's vows. Right? If they promise, oh, it's going to be great, I'm going to do this, and you go, yeah, we'll see. Not going to happen. It's not going to work out. You have to trust in what they're bringing to the table, what they're saying. And so in the exact same way, we can't enjoy God's plan without first believing in his promise. Says, I love you. That's the whole purpose. I'm just trying to make things right. I'm trying to get you where you need to be. We got to trust that. And so thank the Lord that Jesus came down here and proved God's promise of eternal adoption was worth trusting. I mean, he just made it easy for us. There was not a lot of, you know, guesswork in it because the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. You know, no guesswork. We know it now. We've seen it borne out. It's fact. And we are in him who is true by being in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. So, now that you know that, now that you know that's where it comes from, that's your real purpose. So, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. Right? Stay away from everything else that this world is offering. No, no thanks. When Jesus came, we were given a tangible example of the value of God's love by seeing its effect on our life when it becomes the center of our life. That's what he proved. He said, this is what life would look like if you just accepted, if you just believed what God is telling you. This is what happens. You defeat death. And that example, oh boy, that example is an enormous help when we are deciding what to worship. Because again, we do. We're worshiping something. Because again, I'm going to say this several times. Here's the theme here. What we believe in decides how we turn out. Okay, this is why belief is so important. What we believe in decides how we turn out. In fact, do you know where we get the word worship? Yeah, I do. I'm a scholar. I'm a linguist. I know all about it. No, you don't. I didn't either. Here's what it is, though, because we got Google now. Here's where it comes from. It's just an old English mashup of worth and shape. Worth shape. Worship literally means worth's shape, or the shaping of worth. So your worship is what you think and feel represents value itself. Okay? It's what you give to things that you deem worthy, that have the shape of worth to you. And then because we all know that worship's main meaning manifests in action, right? It's like we say, it's a verb, right? That's what worship is. You worship something. We see this in the Bible. We know that it's an action because, get this, in both the Hebrew and Greek, the words that they use that are translated as worship mean to bow or prostrate or serve in some way, to do something, because worship is something that you do in response to something that you value. You know, this, oh, you bow to it. Worship means letting something's worth shape you. Okay? It means somehow changing yourself to acknowledge or accommodate something else that has great value to you. You make room for it in your life. So what I want you to do right now is really stop and think about it, okay? Stop and think about it. Take a good long look at your life where you are right now and ask, what are you letting change you? Okay, it's not a throwaway question. This is a really, be honest with yourself. What are you letting change you? Has the way that you value money influenced any of your decisions? Resounding, yes, it has, Noah, absolutely. Money, the way that we see it, has absolutely influenced your decisions. How about the importance of your career? You know, have you let your career have that impact on you? Does it have any effect on your daily life? When you're making decisions, does your career have that impact? What weight would you give to people's approval? You know, a lot of us, I know that one too. Or your authority, you know, to make yourself look better. Because what you value will determine how you do you. Okay, whatever it is that you value, it just changes you. The youth are a great example of that, right? Because one person does something and then all of them start doing it because we're like, that's the cool kid. That's us. And whether it is a person, okay, because it can be anything. Whether it's a person who you tell, oh, you're my whole world. You know, you're my reason for living. Or whether it's a possession that makes you feel, this is it, this will complete me, this will fix all my problems. Amazon, you've done it again. Whether it's either of those things, I know, Lord knows, there's a box on my doorstep right now that I believe that about, I'm sure. But whether you believe that, either thing, you know, a person or a possession or whatever it is, believing that either are worthy enough to let them shape you is worship. And you might not call it that, but when you give something in your life the power to change you, you have begun a worship relationship. And the higher the value, the harder it is to contain the change. You know, you can just see when there's something that you'll just start looking like it. You'll start dressing like it. You'll become the thing that you love in that way that you worship. So the bottom line there is make sure whatever you give your worship gives you your real purpose. Okay? It has to be. There's only one chance. There's only room for one at the center of your life. And so you better make sure it's the thing that can give you the purpose that you are looking for. So just like Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, which is what you want. This is the thing that'll give you purpose. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Okay, that bottom line tells you right there, this is your truth. Give yourself. So I'm going to ask it again. What's at the center of your life? What is it? Really be honest with yourself. What's at the center of your life? Whatever your answer, that right there is the object of your worship. Because when we believe that something can give us purpose, we give it our life. We just do. And like David Foster Wallace said, everybody worships. The only choice we get is what to worship. You can't pretend that you're not putting something right there in the center of your life. You just have to recognize what is actually there. But the very fact, now this is, again, God's creation, so clever. The very fact that we were all born with that need to believe, right, with that need to fill something, that hole inside us that we have to worship something, that should be seen as a very conspicuous clue to turn us toward our Creator. Right? Like, why would we be built with that unless to use it? Because if God has given us the capacity for faith, right, like the ability to believe in something, but then also given us the free will to misplace that faith and to do it wrong, well, then it is only logical to assume that a big part of our created purpose is to choose what we believe. Okay? If we are built with the ability to do it, then we should be assuming that that is what we are supposed to do. We have to choose. We get to choose what it is that we believe. And now, while believing in the, you know, empty promises of worldly idols has always, across all of history, proven to let us down, remember, Jesus proved that believing in God produces that love that fulfills our deepest desires. We're just being dumb if we don't do it. We have the proof here and we have the proof here. Putting anything from this world in the center of your life leads to that death, destruction, and despair. And putting God there is the way that you beat it and you get the eternal life. Because when we believe in God, it's not just this intellectual decision. It is a humble recognition that only our Creator truly knows how we were meant to live. Which again just makes sense. He's the one who made us. And so the moment that we choose to let Him lead, let the Creator take control, everything changes. Everything changes. All of a sudden, you know, we're playing the clarinet instead of trying to eat soup with the clarinet. We're doing it the right way. Everything changes, and we find our way back to the path that we were meant to walk, that we were created to walk. And then while we're walking it, we discover that faithfully following it leads us to life-changing love, and we see the need. All of a sudden, we realize this is what I was created for. When you start to realize that I am just the object of His love, and that is completely fulfilling, that's everything I ever needed. And when you have that revelation, as we walk that walk to Him, back to our Creator, we start to respond with worship. We start to say, this is what it was all about. The value of this is shaping me. When we respond with worship, we let His love shape us into the eternal family that we were meant to be from the beginning. That's how we get back. Just let Him do it. Let it have that effect. Because in the end, God created us to be loved and to know that we are loved and then to be driven by His love. But all of that begins with believing in His love. So it's the most important decision that you'll make. It's the most important foundational belief that you can have, is that you were created to be loved. Because only that belief fulfills our created purpose when it becomes the center of our life. So, as John so succinctly says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, because God is love. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Then let's pray about it, guys. Father God, we love you. We really, truly love you. We believe that you exist, and we trust that you reward those who earnestly seek you. And so, Holy Spirit, we ask that you lead us away from the empty lies of worldly pursuits and back toward your transforming truth. And Lord Jesus, we worship you as the embodiment of the love that we choose to shape our lives and fulfill our purpose as God's beloved children. And to that, everybody said, Amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.